morning, church. It's ages since I've been up here, isn't it? I'm really glad to be back and to be speaking to you this morning. And it's really good to see all your faces again. Well, I've seen all of you, but it's good to see you from up here. Okay, so let's start with scripture. Now, I've done a really silly thing. I didn't put on my iPad the scripture. I think it's 2 Chronicles 32, 1 to 23. Yes. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he intended to make war on Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city, and they helped him. A large force of men assembled, and they blocked all the springs and the stream that flowed through the land. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water, they said. Then he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside that one and reinforced the supporting terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate, and encouraged them with these words: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Later, when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and all his forces were laying siege to Lachish, he sent his officers to Jerusalem with this message for Hezekiah, king of Judah, and for all the people of Judah. This is what Sennacherib, king of Assyria, says: on what are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege? When Hezekiah says, the Lord our God will save us from the hand of the king of Assyria, he is misleading you to let you die of hunger and thirst. Did not Hezekiah himself remove this God's high places and altars, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before one altar and burn sacrifices on it? Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the other lands? Were the gods of those nations ever able to deliver their land from my hand? Who of all the gods of these nations that my fathers destroyed has been able to save his people from me? How then can your God deliver you from my hand? Now do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe him, for no God of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? Sennacherib's officers spoke further against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. The king also wrote letters insulting the Lord, the God of Israel, and saying this against him: just as the gods of the people of the other lands did not rescue their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not rescue his people from my hand. Then they called out in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to terrify them and to make them afraid in order to capture the city. They spoke about the God of Jerusalem as they did about the gods of the other peoples of the world, the work of men's hands. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land in disgrace. And when he went into the temple of his God, some of his sons cut him down with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. He took care of them on every side. Many brought offerings to Jerusalem for the Lord and valuable gifts for Hezekiah, king of Judah. From then on, he was highly regarded by all nations. Amen. I'm not going to say too much in the way of introducing who Hezekiah was, because Steve did a really, really good job of that last week. But just for those of you who maybe weren't here last week, Hezekiah was one of the kings of Judah. And his father was Ahaz, who was married to Jezebel. And they were absolutely appalling kings and queen. They did all sorts of evil. They set up idols. They did just about everything they shouldn't have done. And they really upset the Lord. They really, really did not follow God at all. But Hezekiah, he ruled first with his father, and then when his father died and he became the sole ruler, he turned around, he got rid of all his father's idols, including the one that was in the temple, and he turned the people back to the Lord God. And then we have the situation that we've just read about. He'd done all of this, he'd worked really hard to get the people back to the Lord, to turn Israel around, to get them worshipping the Lord God again. And you think, well, actually, the Lord would have blessed him and Israel, but the Lord didn't. The Lord let Sennacherib come and put Israel and put Jerusalem in siege. They were completely surrounded by Sennacherib's army. They couldn't go in or out. They were trapped. It seemed a really hopeless situation. Now, what you have to realise is that siege in the time of Jeremiah and the time of the Old Testament was a really awful situation. When a city was laid to siege, nothing could get in or out. That meant no water or food could get into the city, and they couldn't get rid of any of the waste either. So all the people basically ended up, if they couldn't have a military defeat, they basically starved to death. If they didn't surrender to the army that was besieging them, they basically starved to death. And the city was in pretty awful conditions before that happened. If you can imagine, if we didn't have any toilets, if all the toilets in London broke and we weren't able to go to the loo, can you imagine the kind of stench that we would start to have? That's the situation that Jerusalem was facing. No food, no way of getting rid of waste. A pretty awful situation. So who was Sennacherib? Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. And Assyria were the superpower of the day. They were equivalent to our Russia or America or China today. They were the absolute superpower. And they were just going across the world. They were taking over nation after nation, and they were defeating them and just taking them over, really. So when this chapter starts, we read about Hezekiah getting ready for this siege, for this possibly a long siege. You may wonder why there's the little bit about the water in there. Well, Jerusalem had a very clever system of water tunnels where they could get water into the city, but they could block the water up so that it wasn't outside the city. And I've got to be honest, I'm not a plumber. I couldn't quite understand how they did it, but they did it in such a way that they could, that the Jerusalem, people inside the city walls could still get water. But if they blocked up the water outside, then Sennacherib and his army couldn't. So it was one of the ways that they could make life a little bit difficult for the Assyrians. They could stop them having water. Obviously, he made sure that all the city walls were repaired and in as best condition as they could have them. But Sennacherib came and besieged the city. He used psychology to try and wear down Hezekiah and the people. He came and said, look, you know, this confidence that you've got in the Lord, your God, it's rubbish. Look at all the other nations. They thought that their gods would save them, but they didn't. They didn't save them. I was still able to come and take a hunk of their lands. So why are you listening to Hezekiah? Why are you listening to your king? I can conquer you anyway, regardless of your God. So he's using a lot of psychology to wear the people down. So they were being physically worn down because they were in danger of running out of food. They did have water because they had that clever system. But obviously you need more than water to survive. You do need food. So they were being psychologically worn down. They were being physically worn down. Siege really was a horrible situation. So Hezekiah did the only thing he could do. And that was to pray. And he didn't pray for military success. What he did was he glorified God. What Hezekiah realized was that God will ultimately glorify himself and bring the ultimate good in the long run. And sometimes when we pray, and I've done it and everyone's done it, sometimes when we come with a bit of a shopping list when we come to pray. We almost come as if it's a bit of a supernatural supermarket. You know, please Lord, can you do this and can you do that and can you help my granddaughter do this and can you help my son do that and so-and-so at church, can you heal her? And we end up with a really long list of things we'd like God to do, or we think he should do. And sometimes we forget to stop and just glorify God and acknowledge God's greatness. And I'm so glad that Val did read out those verses at the beginning, and I've read them out again when I read the main thing of Hezekiah saying, the Lord is the highest power there is. He is the supreme being in the universe. He can do anything. He can do absolutely anything. And if he wants to overcome the Syrians, he will. And he glorified God. He didn't come with a supernatural list as if he was going to the supernatural supermarket. He came and he simply glorified God. But what's really interesting about this chapter is actually what God did. Because when you're reading it and you're thinking, yeah, okay, what's God going to do? He's going to get some sort of, he's going to cause a miracle. He's going to bring a military victory for Hezekiah. He's going to give he's going to give them weapons that are superpower. Now, it might be worth saying at this point, talking a bit about Lachish, it's very quickly mentioned in the thing. Now, Lachish was one of the other places that Sennacherib was at the time conquering. And in museums around the world, I think there's a relief in the British Museum. We have a relief. And what it's got these huge of Sennacherib attacking Lachish. And he's got these huge, great big war machines. He's got the latest of the day, the most powerful war machines of the day. A bit like when, America or a country shows off its weapons. They were the most powerful weapons of the day. So we can see those weapons. We can see people impaled on poles. We can see people surrendering, all in this relief. So the Assyrians were powerful. They were really powerful. And when we're reading through this chapter, we might think, I think the Lord should go and give Hezekiah some sort of military a victory. But God didn't. He didn't at all. And this is sometimes where prayer can be confusing. Because sometimes God doesn't answer prayer in the way that we've asked him to. I'm sure we've all heard of the person who, please pray because I've applied for the job of my dreams and you don't get it. And remember how I've said God will ultimately glorify himself. And he will bring the ultimate good. And he does that for us as well. And how often do you find someone saying, well, 6 months later, that company that I was so desperate to get a job in went into receivership or something happened. And, I'm really glad actually in the end God didn't let me get that job because I'd be out of a job now. How often have we maybe been, if we're searching for a house, we've seen the house, it's perfect, it's absolutely wonderful, it's got the right number of bedrooms and they're the right size, the lounge is super, the kitchen's super, and we don't get it. But we find another house that is better. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for. God answers it in a different way. And that is what God did in this situation. Now, we don't know exactly what the angel did when God sent the angel. Some writers suggest it was some kind of wasting disease. Others suggest it was a kind of dysentery. It was some sort of serious illness they got that killed them. They died from it. It was a kind of a plague or something. We don't know exactly what it was, but what we do know was it annihilated them and they had to withdraw. So Hezekiah, he didn't really get his military victory, but he got a bit of relief from Sennacherib, because the Assyrians, they went away temporarily. They got off the doorstep, so to speak. They come back later, unfortunately, but that's later on in the story. But for just now, they went away. And for all his pride, Sennacherib, he went home in disgrace. And then we read that very sad bit at the end where he goes into his own temple back in Assyria and his sons, essentially assassinate him. So What did Hezekiah and the people did? They praised God to high heaven. They thanked God. Because Hezekiah had done the only thing he could do. He'd prayed. There was nothing else they could do. Because they were in on a sticky wicket. A siege was a really difficult situation to get out of. But they stuck to their guns. They gave glory to God. They kept faithful to God. And God saw that Kate brought them through it. And so often we've got a situation where we just need to cling on to God, our faith in God. Cling on to God because it's the only thing we can do. It's to cling on for God and know that he loves us. He wants the ultimate good for us. That might not be quite what we think we should have, but he will bring the ultimate good for us in the end. So I want to send you away with that message. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we come to you now and we just thank you for everything that you are. Val listed a few of the things that you are this morning, but there's so much more that you are. And we just want to glorify your name. And we acknowledge, Lord, that you will ultimately glorify yourself and will bring the ultimate good in everything. And that you love us and you will bring the ultimate good for us, Lord. Amen.